And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 173.
173.
I am Silas Sundenstein.
I'm Samantha Run.
And welcome to the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. This is us. This is it.
Yeah.
This is it.
Uh-huh.
But no, today actually we have a guest. Author. Actor. My strong is an author. And she has a double identity. Like, there's no actor named Maya Strong, I realized. So that's her alternate ego. Is that right? Alter ego.
Yeah.
Alter ego. Not alternate ego. I don't know. So we talk about Maya's book, Midnight Jones. It's coming out September 24th. So this is like an advanced. This is not like Silas was like going through Barnes & Noble and then seeing a name and go, oh, maybe they'll come on the podcast. This is advanced copy. And it's actually, Maya was the first guest ever on Black and a Half back in 2012. So this is a return. Yeah, Erica Klemenke came on recently. That was guest number two. So it's like reverse order. I should start calling everybody, I guess. Number three. Hey, come on down. We're doing it again. It's a new party. It's a new age. The post-apocalypse. No, we're still in the middle. It's not post. we're training.
We laugh through our tears.
We're training the slayers right now. Real quick. So what kind of monster is going to be created from COVID? What do you think? Is it going to be more like a werewolf or a vampire? What do you think we're dealing with? A zombie situation? Like, what's in 10 years? What's
going to be the horror that this horror created?
Yeah. That's okay.
We've already got the zombie craze. And so I'm like, what?
You can't just do zombies.
That would be the logical choice if we weren't already, you know, deep in it.
Yeah. Maybe subject for your next cycle of books. Okay.
Perhaps. Just saying,
there we go. Check out Maya's book on September 24th. It comes out on, it's available now on Amazon or Barnes & Noble for pre-order. I love going into Barnes & Noble. Will I be able to order? Can I get it from the store?
It's going to be print on demand.
So can I go in there though and order it?
I mean, you could probably go in there and order it. I would love it if you went into a Barnes & Noble and said, hey, how come I can't find this on the shelf? Can you order this for me?
Can I get this right here? I want to pick it up. I don't want to go to my house. Well, pick it up right here with Tolstoy.
And you know what? We could arrange it so that we happened to coincidentally run into each other and I could sign it for you in the bookstore.
That would be awesome.
And get like people going, ooh, what's that?
There was a big Southern line of food. Oh, I can't remember what it was, but she talked about when it first came out, it would go to the store. She went and bought all of them herself. So that they would reorder it until like she kept going to different stores and buying her own food and so that they would reorder it until finally it started getting on its own. Cause they're like, oh, this is going great. We should get some more. That's how she invested in her marketing money. She just invested in buying the product back and selling it. It's kind of brilliant. So go order 1,000 of your books.
But yeah,
get them there. They're there. Awesome. So big thanks for Maya for coming back. Big thanks you, the listener, for returning for episode 173. Even bigger thanks to our Patreon supporters, the Inner Circle members, like Tara Widener, Stefan Ward, Keith Nagel. Thank you for supporting this show. If you want to support this show for as little as $1 a month, you can go to patreon.com/blackandahalf and join our league of extraordinary listeners. That's right. For just $1 a month, that's your title. you will never get a better title for $1 a month. So just for that, do it. And then, of course, you can go to our Facebook page, like the Facebook page, and go to, but more importantly, go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star rating and a review. And that helps people find this show and find us, find Maya Strong. So if you're a fan of hers, listen to the show. Help other people discover Maya. 2 episodes of her. Yeah, that's that. Also, you can check out my other podcast, You're Buying a Home with Silas Sennenstein, where I educate and empower home buyers all across the nation on the process of buying a home and connect them with agents in the local area. You can check that out at youreBuyingAHome.com or wherever the hell you got this podcast. Probably there, too. And also, Samantha, I believe you have a show.
You can check out Beyond Technique with me, Samantha Run, where you listen to your podcast, or also on YouTube, and just having discussions with other creatives. Yeah, good times.
Just discussions. They're like empowerment sessions. These are like masterminds.
You know what, Silas, you're right. I shouldn't undersell it. That's especially right. Since it's for free, you guys. Talking about like how the arts can help empower your life and, you know, on all sorts of different creatives. And it's really awesome to see all the various ways in which it can help empower you and just make you enjoy your life even more, along with some technique tips and things like that.
Maya, I bet you would say the arts have empowered your life.
Well, yes, absolutely. Because I would have nothing if I weren't doing creative things. I don't know how people live without being creative. I also don't know how they live without talking in funny voices, but that might just be me.
I do know. I remember when the pandemic started, like 3 weeks into it, I was talking to some comics and they were like, "They don't. Is this what everyone else does? Like, do you just fucking sit home? Like all the time? What do you do? Like, how does this work?" And I have been like, yeah, well, you know, parenthood helped me with that a little, understand what other norms do, but those other people aren't figuring out, well, but could I, sure, I have a baby, but I could still shoot a movie in my backyard, right? I mean, that's not unreasonable, right? Yeah. Doesn't everybody do?
Sure.
My neighbors are so normal. It's like crazy. Like, I'm like, they think I'm a nutball. Anyway, check out those. Wait, Maya, do you have a podcast? Because
I do not have a podcast. Okay. Thank you for asking. Okay. I don't even blog, man. It's like too much like keeping a journal.
You need to keep those secrets under wraps, right? You can't.
Yeah. Because I'm an Aries and we never talk about ourselves.
Okay. So check out her book and check out our other podcasts. But right now, I just want you to open your heart and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 173. Maya Strong and Midnight Jones.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
I've got a new. It's funny because my setup looks the same every single time, but it's changing. It's evolving because I actually bought raised, risers to put my computer on.
Oh.
To look at you instead of just like, you know, cardboard boxes and stuff that probably shouldn't be used to hold a computer. Like I'm in college or something.
You should have seen my stack of books when we did Henry V over Zoom last summer.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like in my basement with this white damask curtain behind me that I've actually used to make costumes out of in the past. And I just have a chunk left that's like taped to the vent shaft above my head. And then I've got this stack of books on like a stool or something. I don't even remember. My computer's on top of that. I've got a music stand off to one side with my script on it. Because nothing's memorized. It's freaking Zoom, right? Yeah,
right.
Oh my God. It was sketchy, I think is the nice word for it.
Did, yeah, Samantha, this, you two connect here, the Shakespeare. Very
right. I was like Henry V. Oh, okay.
Yeah. She,
oh, yes.
Yeah. Samantha played Lady M a few years ago.
Fun.
Back in Pennsylvania. That was
very nice.
Thanks. Yeah, that was my most recent Shakespearean work. It's been a minute.
Oh, no.
It was a lot of fun.
Well, it's been a minute for like everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't auditioned for any theater in forever, you know? Yeah.
Are, now, are you here where Silas and I are? Okay, yeah, right on. Yeah,
I'm back up here now.
She's a comic and an actor, like a real actor, though. She got her MFA and everything.
Ooh, schmancy shit.
She's hoity-toity.
Oh, you know. Pinky's up.
Now it is. I got an MFA in the School of Hard Knocks, you know?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Right.
We all believe
it's
that.
A hard knock life.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's the first thing you think of when you see Silas. It's
Hard Knock Life.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, no, Annie. It's the red curls.
That's what you Mary, did you do Henry, or did you do Shakespeare this summer?
I did not. So last summer when we had to shut down and go online, Green Stage did the planned season of Henry V and Midsummer. And then they also did The Tempest, which they were going to do Backyard Bard last year. So this year reopening, we scaled down. We did a full size Midsummer. We did the Backyard Bard, Tempest, and Twelfth Night. And we're saving Henry V to presumably do next summer. That's the plan, last I heard. I'm sorry, I'm still playing with this light because it's bugging the shit out of me. So we shall see. I mean, I'd love to do Henry V with them again, since that was the first show I ever did with them back in 2005.
So you want to do it again? You like
repeating? I want to do it again, because there's no way in hell I'm playing Catherine and the Boy again.
Oh, that's
it's
true.
Been a long-ass time, and I am old now. So I was the King of France last summer. Yeah. I'm like, I can be the King of France. I'm good with that.
That is interesting. You know, I guess I hadn't thought about if I go back to these roles, because like most of my Shakespeare was in college. So I'm like, you know, so anybody was anything age-wise, didn't really matter. So like, I don't think about like how you would go back and do a show again, but you're going to be probably in a different character set or consideration. That's interesting. I hadn't thought of that. Now, but they did shows this year.
Yeah.
Did you stay out because of the pandemic or...
They weren't doing the show that I was in. And I mean, I'm on the staff for the company. So I made it known that it was fine. I didn't need to go into the parks this summer.
Yeah.
But you know, I went and saw the two Backyard Bards, the short shows, and they were delightful and wonderful. And I had a grand time. But Daniel Wood posted a photo of the audience from Midsummer. He was playing Bottom.
Yeah.
He posted a freaking picture of the audience. And I was like, I can't sit in that.
They were all a lot of so people. Many people so close
there
together.
Were so many people. It was down at Magnuson Park, which is really near my house. And I was like, and I thought, oh yeah, they're down there for like three shows. I could go down one of these shows. And then he posted that photo. And I was like, I don't even want to stand in the back of this with a mask on. I just, it was just too many people. And it wasn't even, you know, it's like after a year and a half of not peopling.
Yeah.
Right.
I just couldn't face it.
Yeah. You know, this is my dilemma. Like, and I don't know, I would tend to think people that would go to a Shakespeare performance tend to be on the side of maybe had a little more education in the past, might lean a little on the left side,
may have a general fear of plagues. if not an awareness of our existence, you know?
Right.
Like, so I would think that that would be an audience who would be very more into the social distancing and doing the right thing. My problem is I feel like we have these instances where we have groups of people that have been doing the right thing now feeling like it's okay. Well, we can get together because we're okay.
Yeah.
It's the other people that are the problem. And I get concerned, like, just out of sheer odds, we're going to have a problem. Like, I don't know if you went, there was an invitation this weekend to a party of a used to be yearly party.
Yes. And,
they didn't do it last year, but I guess there was a little get together, which that was weird. I don't know. Last year. So this year, like I got like 2 days before it, I got an invite. Showed up like, what? Huh?
I got the same invite. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I was like, it's not over. No. I can't because mainly I have kids.
Right.
So I can't bring anything back. But it's kind of like, these are all my friends, well-intentioned friends who have been behaving. And I was like, what is everyone doing?
Well, okay. So having gone to it, I was there for about 3 hours.
Yeah.
It was very low key. It was 100% outdoors.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, people were like, loosely gathered, chatting, and, you know, everybody who I personally already knew, which were basically the only people I was interacting with anyway, mm-hmm. I know are vaccinated, you know, right. And I know what hermits we all are. Just, I mean, even without a pandemic, we what do you mean I have to leave my home?
That's true.
So, I mean, it's like, you know, these are people that I trust.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they trust these other people I don't know, that's fine. I will talk to them from a distance.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm not going in to hug some strangers for fuck's sake.
But we're all in agreement that the vaccine works.
That's like
works,
a good bumper sticker.
But, it's, but we're in agreement that the vaccine's not 100% effective.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because of the kids, I was out.
Yeah.
And then the wife, because it's not 100%, my wife gets COVID, she's dead. So I'm not, right, I'm right. not messing around.
That's not okay.
Yeah. So
we like her.
I was just like, I'm like, oh no, I'm not going to a super spreader. Why don't we, let's name it.
It wasn't big enough to be a super, it was smaller than that audience.
I was thinking it was so great that you thought that Shakespeare event could be a super spreading. Spreader. Well, I mean, I'm sure it was an awesome event, but
Midsummer Night Dream could be.
Huh? Right? What?
Oh, there were a lot of people in that house. I mean, and because that is a particularly an amphitheater as opposed to just a big open park, like at Volunteer Park, people can spread the fuck out. And they were amplifying all the shows this year, which they don't usually do at all the parks. So, you know, but I heard about Volunteer. They're like, oh yeah, people were really, really spread out because they are anyway. Magnuson, I mean, it's not as small as Lynnwood, but it is a built amphitheater. So there's only so much distance you could put.
Yeah.
And I admit I did not look closely enough at the photograph to see if people were sitting in like little pods. Mm-hmm. I was just too overwhelmed with the sheer number of it. I was like freaking out.
I did go see, I keep saying the name wrong in the beginning. So I'm just saying The Legend of Ten Rings. I went and saw it.
I don't know what that is.
The Marvel movie.
Oh, okay. I'm so behind on the MCU. It's Surely. Embarrassing. Or it would be if
and
I cared.
The movie, there were more people in there than I liked. I usually try to get to a smaller audience, but I was lucky that my seats happened to be next to so there was like an old white guy and I was like, and he had his mask on and I was like, okay, good. Cause you should fear me for so many reasons. You're going to, like, he's old. I was like, yeah, you're the demographic. Like, I want to be next to someone who's, like, just kind of hoping, like, okay, if I'm going to sit next to a random person, I want to hope that they are at least in the demographic at threat, because maybe they'll believe it a little more.
Maybe they'll be a little more cautious.
Yeah, even if they're not, even if they don't, there's something in the head that, like, yeah, I don't believe it, though I am in the demographic, and here's a brown fella sitting next to me. I don't know. I'll just sit here and be quiet.
It's like the COVID agnostics. Yeah. This is like, well, I don't really believe, but just in case.
I do that. I had a, when I was in high school, we had shop class, wood shop. So one day I just thought it would be funny for me to make a wooden cross. Like I was a vampire hunter or something, right? Mm-hmm. So I made a wooden cross. I'm not religious, right? I kept that thing for close to 25 years because I was like, I can't just throw this in the trash. It's a religious symbol. And people would say, like, you don't believe it. I'm like, you know what? Just in case, I'm not messing with that mojo of that. So I finally, the only way I got rid of it was Gretchen threw it out for me because I was like, well, you believe in it, so it's on you. If
that's so funny. I was going to say, did you donate it?
No, I let her toss it out because I was like, well, I'm not doing it. I mean, you can. You're the one.
She didn't use it as kindling and like the fire pit. No.
Oh
my gosh.
Oh yeah, I do get in there. Like, we should hedge. Just want to hedge my bets a little bit, even though. Look,
there's a name for that philosophy. There's like a specific philosopher, and for the life of me, I cannot remember what his name was. Like my friend Kelly would know. She knows that shit. But yeah, like, there's
50 on black and 49 on red. Okay, just kind of try to and $2 on that other green
on the green.
Whatever. Yeah. You're here. You were our first guest. You were the first. What? You were the first Black and a Half guest back in.
I was. Yeah. Yes. That was an ice age ago.
In 2012.
Jesus yeah. Christ.
Well, you thought the world was going to end. So it was like the last, okay, let's try a new podcast.
And now here we are in an apocalyptic wasteland. Yes.
Yeah, what if the calendar was wrong? We're just now it's caught up. It was off a few years. You were the first guest and you came, you talked about some of your books, but now you're back to promote another book.
I am
a different kind of book.
Right? Yes, it's not even smutty at all.
Yeah, Samantha, she writes a lot of smut.
I do.
Like just and not
an erotic with romance that, is what we call it.
Yeah.
Oh. No apology. Are you kidding? No. No. My boys eat well and they get laid a lot, but they also have plot and character development. So you know, I mean, like anytime you get those Twitter questions about, oh, what would your characters say if they met you? And I'm like, well, I hope they would thank me for the food and sex. But these characters, I'm reaching for a copy of the book here. I've got a proof copy here because it doesn't actually come out until the 21st. These ones dine well and they get lots of pastries and coffee, but there's no smut.
No smut.
There's ghosts instead.
Now, was there a reason? What, did you purposely veer from the room of being
erotic? I did. So the first draft of this book was a NaNoWriMo novel in like 2008 or 2009. It's been a long ass time.
For the listeners that don't know, NaNoWriMo is National Novel Writing Month. It's in November, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the goal is to write a novel starting no sooner with like no prep, right? No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose you could prep. I don't. I'm a pantser 100%.
To put pen to paper or
right.
finger to keyboard?
Keyboard.
Voice to text? Whatever. Until November 1st and then finish on November 30th. Then how many words is it?
50,000. Yeah. You're trying to get 50,000 words because that is officially a novel. Anything from 50,000 up is officially a novel.
Okay. So this was a novel?
This was a nanovel.
NaNoWriMo
novel. Yeah, and I had been writing smut and I was kind of bored. And so I was just like, well, I've been writing smut in fantasy universes and one sci-fi universe. And I just needed a change of pace. So I started writing in the real world plus ghosts and magic.
Okay.
And nobody gets laid. I mean, they do, but it's off the page, and it's not in this book. They only meet and like connect in this book. So, there's more relationship later.
Does it feel dangerous to veer away from the erotic? Like,
if I had more of a following, it might.
But then what if this one is the one that takes off, then boy, people are going to be, would you say they would be surprised on your past work?
Well, not anyone who's met me.
Okay.
I've actually had friends my friend Amy borrowed a copy of Gearheart, which is my smutty gay steampunk novel. And she was like, "Ooh, I was surprised." I was like, "Amy, honey, you've met me. You've known me for years. How were you surprised?"
Like if someone just read this novel.
Right. Yeah.
A stranger. What else does Maya Strong write?
I would hope they would look at the keywords, on the Amazon or the Barnes and Noble page and go, "Oh, erotic. Maybe I should go into this informed." But, you know, because I figure if somebody's going to read a book, hopefully they're going to read like the blurb.
Yeah. Did Anne Rice, I remember people saying that she used to write erotic stuff before.
She wrote erotic stuff as Anne Rampling.
Oh, so she had a different name. So did you consider that? Like,
I thought about using a different pen name for the Cozy Paranormals.
Maya Extra Strong or something. No,
that would be the other one. But at this point, I have enough personalities to keep track of and enough online identities that I'm like, I don't need another one. I mean, I really don't need another one to keep track of. It's for my own sanity. And, you know, at this point, my conservative cousins know I write gay smut. Thank you, Mom, for accidentally outing me. So it really doesn't matter what name I use and how I advertise it.
So are you, what would you tell somebody about the novel? Like, what's your synopsis blurb?
About this one that I'm going to hold up in front of the camera again?
Midnight Jones. Midnight Jones.
Midnight Jones. I would tell them to make a cup of tea or get themselves a latte and snuggle up under a blanket with or without a cat. There is a cat in the book. And just get cozy and enjoy.
Is it scary?
There are some intense scenes. Uh-huh. But, you know, it's not horror. It's just creepy.
Creepy. Okay. So alone, campfire lead.
Campfire alone, maybe turn the lights off and just have like one little light or on your Kindle or whatever you're reading on, because, you know, there's ebooks too. Yeah. I would say just get cozy and get ready for some magic and some ghosts.
What made you pick this one from all of your NaNoWriMos?
Pick for what?
I'm going to really develop this one further. Yeah.
Oh, well, it's the first one in so far four. I have four books in this universe. Because apparently I can't just write one thing. Uh-huh. Unless it's steampunk or science fiction. Okay. So I guess there's a caveat to everything.
Yeah.
But this is the first one. And I mean, I have friends who have been with it since I drafted it. Mm-hmm. Like who beta read multiple versions of it over the years as it's gone to publishers and gotten revises and resubmits, and been revised and resubmitted and, you know, declined every time. Every two was twice.
Yeah.
And then revised back more towards where I wanted it to be, which is where it is now for publication.
And is it self-published then?
Yeah.
I think that's great. I think it's the age for it. I like the without gatekeepers aspect.
There's something to be said for having complete creative control. I mean, the cover art I hired someone to do, and it's someone who does cover art for my critique partner. And it's freaking gorgeous and I'm in love with it. Mm-hmm. And I'm absolutely, I've already said to her, hey, there are three more books so far and I'm going to hire you to do the covers for those. And she's like, great. So yeah, I mean, but at the same time, then you're working without any support, mm-hmm. any, you know, any editors you hire, you got to pay for, you got to find them. You got to see if you can vet them through other authors who may have used them before, you know, get references, editors, proofreaders, cover artists, marketing, marketing. I don't think there's an author out there who enjoys marketing.
It's just, not really why you,
it's, you
know, it didn't well, become it's, a writer to market, right?
No, I really didn't. I'm like, can I just write the books and people will just read them? Would that be okay?
Man, you know what?
They have to find them.
Could you, do you think you could write a film trailer for this?
I remember, of this book?
Yeah.
I would hire my friend Dan, who is a screenwriter in Hollywood, and be like, Dan, love, write this. We'll work together.
I'm just thinking, like, I've seen a few people that have done trailers for their book.
Book trailers.
Yeah, book trailers. I find that interesting. I don't know if it works. I'm curious if it works.
I have no idea. I don't have the video skills. I mean, seriously, I can barely make a mood board in Canva, for crying out loud.
If only you knew an award-winning film director. I meant two-time.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Yeah. No film director. I know a script writer.
Magic. This is magic time.
Half the characters in this book are written for friends who are actors.
Yeah.
I mean, oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you find that a lot that you draw on your own life?
Sometimes. Like, I mean, sometimes. I mean, any main character I write has probably got a little bit of something from me in them. You know, like I recently wrote in my current smutty universe, a recent book has a guy who's an author, a science fiction author. He's way more successful than I'll ever be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's why it's fiction. You know, and another one has a movie star. Because I'm an actor.
Yeah.
Like, let's have a little wish fulfillment and make this character a movie star. Okay, his life is fucked up in other ways, but you know, I can write about acting.
Right. Samantha, have you ever tried to write a novel?
Yes.
Oh, now I feel like
we're... Oh yes. No, I haven't ever finished one though. So I've always thought it would be amazing to be a writer. And I guess I've written a couple things, but like, I always thought it'd be amazing to like publish something and, you know, actually finish a novel or all of that.
How far have you gone?
Oh boy. No, not that far.
I did NaNoWriMo a few years ago. I forget if I made it to page 5 or 6. I don't know. It was,
I don't know. I feel like I got maybe like 20 pages into one or something.
That's not bad.
It was just like problem. I guess part of the problem was sticking with that idea, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
I like it goes a little too, the year I did it, I was sort of also kind of looking for a job. So it made it a little difficult to like, you know, I think it would have been easier if I had a job or was just set on not having one either way. And then I could have maybe focused a little more and went on it. But, and then also I'm writing and I was like, you know, I think I'm better just at screenwriting because I think the descriptive parts are harder than I'm like a dialogue. I like the dialogue.
I feel that when I was in elementary school, I would write plays. I wouldn't write stories so much. You know, I was the kid writing plays because, well, anyone who has ever known me would say, well, you talk too much. So of course you like to write dialogue. I mean, I grew up being told I talk too much. I'm like, well, then fine. I'll put them on the page.
Okay. But you're an introvert.
I'm an outgoing introvert.
Okay. Okay, how's that work?
It's a thing. Okay. I get my energy from being by myself, but I don't mind being around people that I know, or, you know, I don't mind being in social settings. I enjoy being in social settings, but then I reset elsewhere. I don't get my energy from crowds.
Okay. So you, I
feel that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you at the end of the night feel exhausted? Like, and you're like, I'm done. I have to go.
Well, if I have to be around people all day. Yeah. I mean, I have often said I'm an actor because I like the fourth wall. Mm-hmm. It's like, I love the feedback from a live audience, but I don't actually have to directly interact with them.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love that. That's the ultimate. It's like, I got my own little pod on the stage and we're doing our scripted thing and we're connecting and it's alive and it's fresh and it's wonderful. And we're getting this gorgeous feedback from the audience. And then we get to go home.
I think that's with stand up. I think I have mixed feelings about it because there's part of me that's like, oh, I like the immediate feedback, but also I'm trying not to care what they think of me, or it can be damaging to you if you worry too much about what they think about your own writing. You know, plays are different. You know, it's different when it's not your work that you've written. Because, yeah. Like, well, it's fine. Don't like Noel Coward. What do I care? But the stand up is like, fine. Don't like me. Oh.
This is why reviews are not for writers. The reviews are for the readers.
Yeah.
It's like anybody who goes in and reads their own reviews is just asking to get a knife in the gut. Like if you really want like pull quotes or something from your reviews, ask a trusted friend to go in and skim them. Don't do it yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. College. Okay. Did you guys, when you were in college, did papers review your plays?
I don't remember.
Cause my college town, they would come to my college theater. So we would have on the regular newspapers would review our, like the city paper would review our plays. So it's like, you don't even get the privacy of working in academia. It wasn't just the student newspaper, right? Where they're like, oh, I like anything. This is cool. You knew all those words. Like actually like judging us like we're on par with other folks.
I honestly don't remember. And in a town the size of Bellingham at the turn of the 90s, they might have.
Do they have papers up there? Do you think they had papers?
You know, maybe it was an ice age and a stagecoach ago.
Yeah.
But,
or did they read up there? No.
Oh, yeah. There's a university up there, Silas.
You know what? My university town, we also had, like, sometimes you could hear the tractor pulls going on too. From there was definitely a line in the sand. Like, I would not know who, without the students there, in the fall, I don't know if that place would vote Republican like every year or not. I think it was like they would elect blue. You get blue voted for every important office. And then the local ones, you would get like some red in there. But this is before it was red and blue, right? But you would get the red in there because people didn't vote for the local one because they didn't know who the hell these people were. Right, it was city council, I don't know, whatever, mayor, whatever. So you get some locals that could slip in because nobody knew who they were. Local politics of a college town, it's wonderful. Samantha, you were in a metropolitan city. Wait, your undergrad, where was your undergrad?
Northwestern, Chicago? Outside of Chicago.
Yeah, like, yeah. Was it its own little town, or were you like in Chicago?
Well, I mean, it was in a suburb.
But so they didn't like Linwood. Oh, is it like the Linwood of Chicago?
I guess.
Like, yeah. Okay.
Like you could hop on. I don't know.
You were just too focused on your academics, weren't you?
For like the. Oh yeah. I mean, I would take the train into the city sometimes, but like, I didn't really care for Chicago. So
really,
I was really busy. And then on top of it, I just didn't really care for the city.
The reason I've never gone is because it just sounds really cold.
Yeah, it is cold. But it was also like such a culture shock to me, like, because I was going from like Montana. And I just like, there were a lot of things that I mean, obviously exist in the world, but that like I hadn't really noticed. Bears? Where yes, are the yeah, bears? Right. I don't see enough moose around. What's going on? Where's all my flannel? That's why I love Seattle. There's still plenty of flannel up here.
This is true. We will never pry our flannel out of our cold, dead hands. Our cold, damp, dead hands.
Yeah. It's just like so industrial, and I didn't see any mountains. And like, I don't know. I probably have a different experience of the city now, of course, since I've lived in like other big cities more. But at the time, I went to the Art Institute a bunch there. That was fun.
Seattle's the biggest city I've ever lived in. Does that seem, I don't know, feel like, I guess, because same for Maya, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is my city. This is where I grew up.
Did you ever have any desire to leave?
I mean, not especially. I mean, if Bellingham, I mean, what the fuck ever, Bellingham. When I went to college in Bellingham, the population of the whole city of Bellingham was roughly equivalent to the population of the University of Washington campus. Okay, to give you an idea of the size scale difference. Yeah. And, you know, I've been to New York. It's a lovely place to visit and then leave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically that's how I feel about, you know, places like Vegas or DC or San Diego. They're lovely places to visit. I love to go there. And then I love to come home. Like the only city I've been in where I really feel like I could comfortably live is Edinburgh. Mm. And it's basically like older, more Scottish Seattle.
Are they passive aggressive there?
Yeah, no. They're really good at swearing. And it's just, it's gray and it's damp and familiar that way. And then they just drive on the other side of the street and you deal with it.
I really dislike other cities now. Whenever I visit one, I'm like, you're not Seattle. It's not like Seattle. Too hot. No,
yeah, Seattle isn't Seattle anymore, but I mean, it's still better.
Yeah. It's closer to Seattle. LA, like Samantha, I don't know how you went from Montana to LA.
Because
I'm going from Seattle to LA, and I'm like,
yeah, but I was in Chicago and I was here first. I didn't just go from Montana.
Yeah, but you must have so much Montana blood.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. I still got plenty of the oh, you're so nice. You can't be from here. I've still got a lot of, I got a lot of that. And that I don't think that will ever fully leave. Hopefully it doesn't. It's good to be nice. It's good to be nice with a backbone, you know?
That's an excellent caveat.
Necessary. Yeah, yep. Yeah.
I feel like I have culture shock going there just from like not seeing trees and seeing so much as brown, just in a week. So I'm like years. I can't in New York City, I was just fucking, this is gross. This is like, there's no tree. They're all new trees.
I know that's so funny to say, like, there's no trees, but it's true. It's like, yeah. I love that. Like, that's one thing I love about Seattle is the amount of nature that's around the city.
I have 14 trees on my property. That's more than I saw visiting New York for like 5 days. It's like they're all little because they have to keep.
Or they're all like in Central Park and nowhere else.
That's true. Okay, outside of Central Park. No, they all have little trees, and I figured I was like, oh, because they die. These trees don't make it like more than a couple years, and then they just like we can't breathe and collapse.
Well, it's actually the trees there can't afford the rent increases. Although Seattle better watch out. I mean, come on.
It's true.
Seattle, you want to keep your trees. Learn something from New York, would you? Okay.
Let me ask you two about this. because I don't know if this occurs to a lot of people. Airbnbs. You both have used them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stayed, I'm assuming. I actually think they are a huge cause of our current housing crisis. Because a lot of people are buying homes specifically just to rent them out on short-term rentals, which, because they can be huge money makers. Mm. And I mean, I've helped people do this, right? And realizing, like, well, every house that they buy, every extra house they get is one more that another family can't get. And it's, and it's more of a commercial enterprise. It's not a house, and it's, you know, and so I'm like, yeah, this should be a hotel or a, you know, bed and breakfast or something. And rent, they pay taxes. Towns that have it set up, Airbnb pays the tax for them and covers it. So it's not like they're not paying taxes.
So it's not like they're a sports team.
Right. Yeah, like, exactly.
I don't have feelings about that.
But I feel like, so it's one of my guilt in the industry. Actually, I was in a Facebook real estate group, and I was like, somebody was like asking, what town should I go buy an Airbnb out of? And like, what? And I'm like, don't. You're ruining real estate and the average person from being able to buy.
Yeah.
Like, do you think of Airbnb as like a good thing? Generally, like, do you have?
There's such a fine line. I mean, if you already have like an extra building on your property that you've renovated to this purpose,
I'm fine. That's
great. Or, you know, you've got this big garage that happens to have a mother-in-law apartment, and you decide to turn that into a money-making venture. Good for you. I mean, I don't think that Airbnbs are the primary problem. I think they're contributing, but I put like 90% of the blame on Amazon.
Yeah.
Well, they're and tech companies. And I mean, a friend of mine who used to be a VP at Zillow made the comment that tech companies like Zillow needed to step up because they were causing the problem. And of course, her publicity people were like, you can't say things like that. You need to not say things. She's like, but it's true. I think Airbnbs are contributing, absolutely. And people's greed is contributing, but I don't think they're the major player.
Because not only can someone not buy the house because they're not really renting it to the average person, they also can't, nobody can rent that space either.
Right.
That's what blows my mind. I know like a comic, I won't say their name, but they have two jobs and they're homeless right now because they cannot, because most of the places they qualify for ask for 3 times rent and they only make 2.9 times the rent. And they're trying to stay in a specific area because they promised their son they wouldn't leave the school district for him, but now they're just in a car and I'm just like, this is horrible. Like, I hate to see the people I know can't find a place.
Yeah.
And I hate there's people that don't feel like they need to do work to their house to rent it out, and they're like, I don't need to do anything.
Oh, there's a house on my block that's a rental house, and it literally got used as a movie set for a movie set in like the 60s, late 50s, early 60s, because it hasn't been updated.
I don't even mind that as much as just like it's garbage, you know.
It's not in the best of shape. And then there's the dead tree covered in ivy that they won't remove, but we won't talk about that.
Right. I don't think people realize how bad that is for a tree.
That tree is dead. It's can see the dead branches way up high and the ivy, like all it's a freaking evergreen and it is dead and covered in ivy. And neighbors have said, hey, we'll help pay to have that removed. And they've been like, oh no.
we're gonna push it.
Just right towards your house.
Right over.
Anyway, yeah. Yeah.
Samantha, you seem upset.
Oh no. It's I'm tired. But the no, I'm thinking the Airbnbs though, to me personally, I honestly just find them creepy. I did one once with but it was like with a bunch of people. Like, to me, I just don't trust people. I'm like, why am I going to go to some stranger's house, pay them money, and be asleep? What on earth?
Even if, like, you know, what I just, if you have the whole space, is it still?
It doesn't matter. They got the keys,
they
don't
got the
they?
Keys, yeah.
And
yeah,
that's like, a good point. You know, no, pretty, thank you.
It is funny what we're trusting on as a people, right? We don't think about that, but then. You know, but then we're like, oh no, be careful. Facebook ads, they're going to target right. you to what you want to see. They're going to, they're evil. They're going to only show you stuff you want to buy. Oh no. Let's stop.
Heavens
this.
Forfend.
Oh my God. No, please show me more wedding rings. That's what I need. okay. Maya, some things changed. Since you were here last.
Yes.
Only a couple things.
Your co-host among them.
The poem.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Because normally now, the first time someone comes on, we have 7 questions that we ask them. Mm-hmm. It's the Black and a Half world famous 7 questions. Mm-hmm. And but this is your second time on here. So it's your... Now it's your opportunity to answer these.
Okay? Oh, goody.
And they're just, you know, off the top of your head. It's no wrong answer. It's just the 7 questions. Okay. Number 1. What are you most nerdy about?
Oh, right now, probably Star Trek. I mean, that's a constant nerddom in my life. Yeah. Other nerddoms come and go, like Stargate SG-1, Xena Warrior Princess, you know, other things I have nerded hard on in my life. But Trek has been a constant. And right now, since I love all the new shows so far, and we just started watching Lower Decks, and it's freaking hilarious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right now, nerding hard on Star Trek.
Okay. What's something you love to eat?
Potatoes. Every form of potatoes.
Every form.
Every form. I don't care if regular potatoes, sweet potatoes, Yukon Golds, fries, mashed, hash brown. Potatoes are the best thing Earth ever invented.
What's something that you love to drink?
Scotch or coffee is a daily necessity. I mean, I happen to also enjoy it, fortunately.
What
That's, how do you take it?
Blonde and bitter, just like me. it's been my response for like 30 years.
That's really funny.
Yeah, that's how I like it.
But your scotch, how do you like that? Because there's
many ways. I mean,
do you like peated?
No.
Okay.
I'm from a lowland clan.
Okay.
I like my lowland scotch. And the Islays are about as north as you can get. And I don't mind a bit of smoke. A little smoke in my scotch is nice.
Is that the same as peat?
No. Okay. I mean, it's caused by the same thing. It's like the peat smoke gives you the smoky flavor, but the peat gives you the muddy flavor. And I'm I don't need to drink muddy scotch.
Okay. Is oaked a thing?
Yeah. Scotch is oaked.
Is there unoaked scotch?
Not to my knowledge. That sounds creepy. There's Chardonnay.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. I was like, there's something about oak, right? Something.
Age Chardonnay in oak barrels. Right, you know, they burn the insides. Okay. Yeah, and it's like, and I don't like an oaked Chardonnay. It's like, save the oak for the scotch, people.
Okay. What kind of music do you love?
Oh, geez. So many kinds. Symphonic Scandinavian goth metal. I love Nightwish. I love Most Within Temptation, Poets of the Fall are they're the optimistic Finnish metal band. But then at the same time, I love Dar Williams. I love those singer-songwriters like her and Nancy Griffith, who I'm so sad passed away recently. I like a lot of eclectic things.
Wait, say one of those big bands again.
Nightwish.
Nightwish. Okay.
I've seen them in like two different states and five or six different venues with all three of their lead singers over time. My friend Julie got me hooked. I love them.
Their most popular song on Spotify is called Noise.
Oh, that's off of their newest album. That's off of, what is it called? Is it Human Nature? Yeah. Is that the name of the new one? Human Nature 2, I think.
I just realized Spotify is a little confusing. Like it says popular number one Noise, and then it has a number. But then the second one is way more higher number. So I don't know if that's like all time listens or something.
Maybe one's the one that's trending currently.
Amaranth.
Oh, yeah. Two. That's a good one.
It says 57 million. Oh, my God.
I'm not surprised. That is a damn good song. That whole album.
I'm going to have to. I will listen
that
to
off
this.
Dark. I think that's off Dark Passion Play. I think that's off Dark Passion Play.
Oh, I don't want to mess our copyright up. Hold on. so I'm like, you have to listen to this offline.
Oh, yeah.
So
you're like, oh, yeah.
What is this music she speaks of?
Nightwish is so good. So good.
All right. What do you love to create?
Theater. When the pandemic shut down all the performing arts, I was bereft. I mean, I did an aerial show literally the night before we shut down. And it went from being a three performances, full audience, to one performance streamed online with only ourselves in the room. And right before the pandemic hit, I got cast in an amazing show, which has been postponed and postponed and postponed, and knock on wood, will be going up in January. But live theater is just that's my lifeblood. I have to be creative. This is why I've written six novels since the pandemic, because literally, and I just started a seventh one a couple of weeks ago. Every creative outlet got taken away, and all I had left was writing, because you can do that all by yourself in a box in your house. But yes, theater, number one.
Okay. What's a game you love to play?
I don't like games.
No?
I don't like board games. I cheat at solitaire. I do. I would never cheat at poker, but I cheat at solitaire. Games.
Well, you like poker?
I don't really know how to play. I would never cheat someone else. Okay. I guess that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't cheat somebody else, but I'll cheat myself.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, what's under there? Oh, I could use that. Games. I don't know. I used to play D&D and I loved it, but I'd rather do theater. If I'm going to play act,
right? Yeah.
I'd rather just do it than roll dice.
Do you have any like favorite theater games?
Yes. And comes up most often just because you can apply it to every aspect of your life. Mm-hmm. And you can even apply it sarcastically, you know, it's like, yes. And
that's true. I'll yes and you, but sarcastically. Okay.
Right. It's that's fun. Okay. Well, yeah. I don't play video games. I mean, Space Invaders is my kind of video game. It's just, I'm 8-bit.
Okay. Then last question. In 100 years, when someone reads your biography, What do you want to be remembered for?
Oh, that's a good question. What do I want to be remembered for? I want to be remembered for characters that I brought to life. And, you know, whether that means the Shakespeare characters I've played that I've loved, like Mercutio and Goneril, who are my two of my absolute all-time favorites that I have ever gotten to play, or whether it's, you know, Susan Reach in Red Planet Blue, or Philippa Bickleford Smith Jones in Chagas on the Veldt. I mean, I got to originate those roles, and that's pretty freaking awesome. Mm. Or whether it's Judith in Blood, Water, Paint that I had the privilege of playing a few months before the whole pandemic shit hit the fan. That's what I would like. You know, I love writing, and I want people to read my books, but I'd rather they remember the books than me. But when it's me on stage saying somebody else's words and creating a reality that is immediate and visceral, that's really cool to me.
Mm. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Maya, for coming on today.
Thank you.
A reminder to our listeners to check out your book.
It releases officially on September 21st.
Oh, okay.
So everybody knows. Ooh, it's currently ready on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You can pre-order it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Those are, okay, best places to go. And the title, one more time?
It is Midnight Jones.
Midnight Jones.
It is
by Maya
the first book in the Presence Unknown Paranormal Investigators series.
Mm. I do know, you know, I know some paranormal. I'm more likely to give like my stepmother this book than your past books.
That is reasonable.
It'll feel a little safer.
Yeah. In all fairness, my mother read my first book that was ever published, that was actually published by a publisher, and it's smutty as all hell.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved her reaction was, it was a good story. Awesome. That's, you know, that was all the conversation we had about it, and that's fine. I don't expect her to read them, but that's a supportive mom there. You know,
absolutely.
But yes, please. I hope you like it. If you give it to her, I hope she likes it.
You know, I do think there is something cool also when you know an author, when you give it to somebody, like people like it more. You're like, hey, this is actually, this is a friend of mine. You should read this book. They're like, oh, this is your friend. Okay.
Yeah, it's cool.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming back.
Yes. Thanks for having me back. It was lovely. Samantha, it was lovely to meet you, and I'm sorry we didn't chat more.
Yeah. Lovely to meet you too. I know this was a quiet episode for me, but it was nice to just hear everything. I didn't have to butt in all the time.
I'm glad we could give you a chill night.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, black and a half.
Black and a half.
Woo, black and a half.